Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, sorry for the interruption, but I have an exciting announcement I wanted to share with you. You all know how fond I am of the carnivore diet. I started it in August of 2017, and for the most part, in the past 3 years, I've stuck to it. I've teamed up with my great friend, Adam Scheible, host of the Million Pound Mission podcast, to create a course for any of you who are curious about the carnivore diet. It's called Couch to Carnivore, and this course covers the range of diets from low carb to carnivore. You don't have to be following a ketogenic diet or even a low carb diet to start. We take you through 7 phases from the standard American diet all the way to strict carnivore. Once you finish this course, you'll be armed with all the right information to decide which variation works best for you. In addition, we offer follow-along videos, recipe ideas, and all the great community building and support that Adam is known for. You can check that out at couchtocarnivore.com. That's couchtocarnivore.com. Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my wife, Maura, a.k.a. Twitch.
I was going to say, where's my adjective?
You're Twitch right now. You're Twitch this week.
Well, yeah, I am. The eye twitches have, I think I earned like a mushroom on those. Like, you know, when you level up in Mario, like the eye twitches are, they're on fleek right now. They're good to go.
My love.
I've had to choose this week between migraines and eye twitches. So eye twitches are less painful and anxiety attacks are less painful than migraines. So.
Is there anything like you could do to maybe help that out? Like
I need to cut back on my caffeine. And I also need to just, it's really hard because obviously I work on my phone, right? Mm-hmm. Like my mom's like, well, you just don't go on social. I'm like, yeah, no, that doesn't work for me because I actually work on social media. Like that is a huge thing for my work. So I need to just make sure that I'm in, I post and I'm out and I get back to my people and I don't really scroll because I do. You get sucked. My eye twitching right now, actually. Just talking about this makes my literal eye twitch. That's how I know that it's the condition of the world that's making me stress out.
I know.
So yeah, you know, I shouldn't be scrolling on Facebook because people are people.
Please don't, because
people are people.
You know, our friend Carlos just texted me today and he said I was crying this morning because I got into an argument with my sister online.
Yeah. And I blocked several family members.
It's crazy.
It's really sad, but
things are not good now.
It's biblical though. So I'm okay with that, but it doesn't make it easier.
Yeah.
So whatever. I've also been, but here's the thing, like my scrolling sometimes has a purpose because like I intentionally scroll sometimes because I'm looking for people to get rid of.
But now's not the time for that.
Right. Not right now. Like maybe this weekend when we're on the beach, I can be like, oh, I didn't like what you liked. So you're gone.
Well, look, I think this episode is going to be little break from this because this has been an unexpected and just really, really so fulfilling and really fun project to work on.
And you guys got it done.
We're
like almost
there.
Done, right?
We're getting there. Okay. Yeah. And we're super excited. So I'm kind of curious because I'm going to be talking to our guest and I'm going to be asking questions, but then I'm also going to be living through it with him because we're doing this together. So
again, this should have been a Q&A that I host again.
But okay. Oh, see, we need to do that. We need to do that one of these days. All right. Well, we'll do that when we launch this.
Okay. Thing. Yes. When you guys launch, we'll do another one.
So let's talk about our guest. Adrian Gonzalez graduated from the University of Miami in 2012 with a bachelor's in both communications and creative writing. Wow. During his senior year at UM, he was one of only 3 students selected within the entire student body to work hand in hand with American novelist M. Evelina Galang. Adrian has grown to become a marketing strategist and has held multiple leadership roles at 3 marketing companies in Miami, Florida. At the moment, he's working closely with this guy, Danny Vega, to create a series of growth and development books geared specifically for children. The book series will be the first fictional character-based publications that shed light on self-development principles and strategies for kids, all revolving around a select group of child characters who possess special abilities. The book is set to for release in 2021. Adrian's the oldest of four siblings and enjoys reading, writing, exercising and being outside. Welcome to the show, our great friend and family member, Adrian Gonzalez. What's up, brother?
What's up, guys? It's awesome to be here. This is my first time I'm ever on a podcast. I produce one, but it's the first time I'm actually on one.
First time you're a guest.
When I thought of this, bro, I was just like, I didn't even ask him. I was like, yo, we got to record a podcast. Can you do next Thursday? And he was like, all right.
Yeah, man.
Life is so crazy, right?
Yeah, but I'm really excited about this project. I think it's going to do a lot of good for not just me and Danny, but just for kids all around and parents.
Everybody. And parents. 100%. Yeah, it's definitely something that's needed.
For sure.
Well, we always lead off with the question, what is the most critical problem you're currently trying to solve?
It's that kids just don't read, right? They just don't. And it's not a new thing. You know, me growing up, going to public schools, elementary school, middle school. I think the only book I read between middle school and high school was like the first Harry Potter book when I was in sixth grade. And kids just don't read. And what I noticed when I began reading, which I didn't start reading till 2010, which was when I started UM. And I started reading because I wanted to learn how to communicate with people, because I used to be super crazy shy, didn't talk in class, had like super crazy anxiety whenever I was called upon. So I started just Googling books to learn how to communicate with people. The actual first book I ever read was How to Win Friends and Influence People. But I mean, it just goes back to the problem or the obstacle that kids don't read. They don't enjoy reading. The kids that do, it's like just fictional books like Harry Potter, which are good, but there's so much you can learn from really great books. And if you can just learn those sooner, I mean, your life will just be better exponentially.
Yeah, bro. It opens up so many new worlds. That's why we told Desmond, because, you know, Desmond's a typical homeschooled kid. They start to read later because, you know, the way we see it, it's like we didn't teach them to like basically memorize words that they didn't even understand. We just kind of let reading take place naturally. And that ends up being like, you know, 7 to 9 years old for homeschool kids. And we started telling them, listen, when you start to read, all of these things that you love and you're curious about, you can go so deep and you can learn.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, it's awesome, man. Well, let's talk about the inception of the idea, and then your first conversation with me and the whole process so far. Tell us how this started in your mind, and then how our first conversation went, and then what we've been up to.
So I have a brother that just turned 13 years old and a sister that just turned 16. And for the longest time, I've been just like trying to figure out ways to get them to read and like just invest in themselves, like anything that's not video games or like scrolling through Instagram or like just laying down on the couch and eating potato chips and watching TV. So I was trying to find a way just to get them to learn the things that I had learned that had helped me so much. And you know, just books. But I kept Googling books for kids, self-development books for kids. And this went on for like a few years. This is not something that I just thought about like a couple of months ago. And I couldn't find anything at all. And a few months ago, I did start, when this whole pandemic thing started, that's kind of when I went back to this idea of, all right, I can't find this book. So why don't I just make one? I mean, I know how to write. I'm not bad at it. I have the skills. I can do it. But I think what sparked it, besides the want to want to give my siblings just, you know, these tools that will help them succeed, was how scary it was when the whole pandemic hit. People were losing their jobs, losing incomes, losing their houses. And I work a 9-to-5 right now. And, you know, I got a pay cut too. And I just didn't want to leave my financial freedom. Sounds like a big word, but I didn't want to rely on anybody else to make a living, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I don't want to start another company You know, because if you're going to do something, you have to do something that you love. I didn't want to just start a marketing company because I love marketing, but I don't want to. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to deal with the clients and all that stuff. I've done that for a few years. I don't want to do that. I've done it for other people. So I just came up with this idea. I love writing. I love the kids. I love reading. This could be something that I would love doing. It would give me the lifestyle that I, you know, want, being free, just having that residual income come in. Right. And just, you know, creating something really cool that's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, bro. It's really cool. The process is super cool. You know, I don't have the creative writing background. I took one of those classes in college, I remember. But, you know, I was so pumped when you first called me about this. And it wasn't even, we weren't even talking about working together. It was literally like, he comes, he asked me, he's like, you know, do you know if this exists? And I was like, no, I don't think it does. Like, and I'm pretty tapped into like children's literature. And I was just so blown away. And it was it was serendipity, the fact that we both had the same book in mind when we started. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to talk about that yet because we're going to save that question for later. But yeah, like we just started like, you know, I started to like give you, I was just excited for you. Mm-hmm. And so I started to give you some ideas and I had worked with a publisher before. And then I think the way I remember it, you were like, wait a second, do you just want to do this with me? And I was like, of course I do.
which is like really rare for me. Cause
yeah,
like when you remember when you were in school and it was like a group project and you had to work with like four other kids to complete this project. I was the kid that was just like, all right, I'll do everything. And you guys just chill and let me just do everything. And,
oh my gosh,
and,
that's so me. Control.
Cause I like work. Yeah. Cause I don't know. I find I like being in control maybe a little bit too much sometimes. So I don't work with a lot of other people on other things. Like even when I used to make music, I prefer to do it by myself instead of with my best friends. But I met, you know, I know Danny, he's a great guy, super smart. Both of you guys are super smart, super dedicated. You live like this perfect lifestyle. You're so invested in your kids and making sure that they grow up healthy and strong and smart. And I don't know, it was just for some reason, I was just like, I could work with Danny. I know I could work with Danny. And that's why I was just like, hey, do you just want to do this? But another thing was also, I felt like if I teamed up with Danny, he would hold me more accountable than if I just did it by myself.
That's true. The beauty too. Like, it's not about that you don't like working with people. It's that, and I get you. I'm the same way. I don't like working with people who, one, either don't work or who I have to hold their hand, like certain things like that. That's why I lasted as a coach for like, what, a month? I was like, I cannot do this. Like,
this is so funny. We were so excited for launching it back in 2018. It's like, meet your coaches.
But I had a feeling. I already knew. I knew right away that I was like, it wasn't going to work because I just know myself. Like, look, if someone's going to put in the work, like I'm there to match the effort and that's more motivating. But if they're, and you know how people are, like there's literally, and I'm sure Danny has had several clients like this, that there's people that literally hire you so that they can not listen to you. They just want you to be like, they want to vent to you or whatever. And I'm just like, look, I have kids. Like I don't have my own emotional things I got to go through. Like, I'm sorry. I am not a therapist. I am, you know, here to help you and you got to help yourself. So. But yeah, that's great. And you guys are a great team. And yeah, Danny's going to definitely hold you accountable. So
we hold each other accountable.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes back. It goes both ways. Right. So sometimes it's just about finding the right person. Right.
Yeah. I think there has to be just like, you both have to want it bad enough. You have to, I don't know. It has to be like some kind of click. Yeah. Some natural, and it's funny because like when we first started writing, I was like, I don't know if that, you know, I don't know if Danny's ever done any kind of creative writing ever. Like, shoot, I should have probably asked that. But he started writing and I was just like impressed. I was like, wow, this is really good. Like, I remember texting him like, man, the dialogue between these kids is like phenomenal. That's usually, dialogue is usually a really hard part for people to write. And I feel like it just comes really smoothly and easily to Danny. So it was nice to see.
Well, dude, that's how I feel about you. And like, you know, my biggest problem is that I'm long-winded, but that's what That's what editors are for.
Exactly. And that's what editors are for. Yep. So, you know, we're really big on reading to our boys and encouraging them to read. When you asked Danny if there was anything available that focused specifically on personal development and even entrepreneurship, we realized that there was a market need. But why these subjects specifically?
Well, I mean, when it comes to entrepreneurship and just money management, I just learned. I'm just learning what to do with them. Like, I didn't start Yeah, like 2 years ago, I had $0 in my savings account. My mom knows nothing about money management. My credit cards are up the roof. It's like, why don't they just teach people this? Like, at least in high school or younger.
don't get me started. I'm like, wow, add that to the list of things, of actual real life things that they didn't teach me in school. And it's almost like it's on purpose, guys.
Yeah.
They want us to need them, right?
I think like just the easiest answer was just I thought of things that had helped me, areas that I had issues with, and just kind of based it off of my personal experiences.
I love that. So needed.
Yeah, I love that as well. And that's why I was just so excited about this. So now we can get into the one that I teased earlier. And that is, you know, the first book that we've chosen to adapt. I was just blown away that it was the first on both of our lists. So, you know, why did you choose to adapt this one into a children's story? And what was the book that you chose?
Well, so it's How to Win Friends and Influence People. My favorite book, like I said earlier, the first book I ever read. And I'll tell you why I read this book. I had just started UM. I transferred from Miami-Dade to UM because my mom worked there, so I got to go for free. It's fortunate.
Amazing.
But I had gone to public schools my whole entire life, like Southwest, High, Miami-Dade. I didn't learn a lot of things. And I thought I was relatively smart. Like, even when I went to Miami-Dade, my GPA went to like a 3.4, something like that, and high school is a 2.3. I kid you not, in high school, my senior year, I didn't pick up a pencil once. And it's not just because I didn't want to work, it's just nobody cared about what was going on with the kids. So I transferred to UM, and I just remember like my first creative writing class, like the first day of the semester, everybody starts talking, all these kids, and they're all from different places like Boston and Washington and California and like China. And it's just this huge melting pot. And I mean, the way that they were talking, the books that they were talking about, it made me feel like really dumb. Like I felt really, really stupid. And I knew nothing about grammar. And I think that's what like triggered this whole thing that made me even more shy. Like I felt embarrassed to talk in front of those kids. I felt like an idiot. Right. So then I started Googling books and, you know, the best books to learn how to talk better or how to deal people or how to meet people. And I kept coming across How to Win Friends and Influence People. So then I read that book and it really helped me a lot, not just within school, but like with everything, like the jobs I would get, how I would communicate with people, how I would just talk to people, relationship building, like everything in that book helped me just grow, like period. So that's why I wanted to choose that book.
Great choice.
I love it. So, all right, well, let's, why did you decide to include, you know, special abilities in the storylines? And how will these books be connected into a series?
So this is a cool one. Everybody loves special powers. I love, yes, I'm right. Not a kid anymore, but I love Marvel.
I love it too.
I mean, even if you look, I was looking at your guys' websites, and Desmond and Dean, if they both could change something, both of them said that they wish that they could have superpowers.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And both of their favorite movies, Black Panther and The Incredibles, they're both superpower based. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, you can't just give a kid How to Win Friends and Influence People because it's not going to engage them.
Yep. Right.
But maybe kids with superpowers are going through the same things they are. Maybe that will. And if you could turn it into a cool story and maybe sprinkle in some lessons in there, then you got something.
Yeah. And I also loved, because Adrian was big on like, give, like, what does the concept look like from the beginning? And he's like, I had this idea of, you know, following the same, you know, what's Kevin Feige approach of like, you know, introducing Iron Man and then introducing this mm-hmm. guy. And then you build this whole Marvel cinematic universe and they all come together. And I'm just talking about it, I get goosebumps because I'm like, I love the idea. This is why Harry Potter's good. This is why mm-hmm. the, you know, The Hobbit and all these other movies and all these other books are so amazing, because you really do dive into this world and it builds whole worlds and whole universes. And it's just like, it connects them. And that's going to be super fun, bro, when we start to connect these books together, because they're going to be, imagine, we have a list of books that's like, you know, our favorite mm-hmm. self-development books, and we're going to find ways to connect them so that they're all in the same universe. And I thought that was freaking awesome, man.
It's so cool, because you create this world within itself. And you don't want to just have one book come out, right? You want, there are a lot of good things that kids should read about. So Danny, have you told Mauda about like how these special group of kids get these powers?
My love,
I forget. I know he's read up me the book, but again, it's like, I can't remember all the details. But
so the way that, powers? Yeah. So, I mean, the way that the books are going to be connected is all these kids get this virus, right? And it only affects kids. It doesn't, it's not taking any lives, but it's not deadly. But it's like this pandemic, kind of like the coronavirus that we're dealing with right now, but it only affects children. But some kids, like something like maybe 8 of them, they end up having a reaction that gives them superpowers. So like this first book, the main character, which ties into the How to Win Friends and Influence People, he can kind of like read minds, right? And the way that I'm thinking, or that Danny and, oh, I don't know if I even told Danny this, but I'm thinking that towards the end of this book, we're going to meet this other character, this other kid, yeah. Right? That the bad guy in the book has been secretly using. And then, you know, that kid will have their own special ability, and that'll be the second book, and it'll just keep going from there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so cool, man. I freaking love it. That was a really fun part. My next question has been another really fun part. Like every time I include someone or I use them as an inspiration, like I'm reaching out to them and I'm texting them. Like, you know, I'm like, hey, by the way, half of them don't even know I'm writing a book. And I'm like, by the way, you just made my book. You're in it. So let's talk about some of the inspirations for the characters, you know, some of the stories. Because like I said, this has been really fun for me. Tell us some of your sources of inspiration for the storylines and for the characters. Because like I said, this has been, even down to the name, like the names that we pick, we've put a lot of care into choosing these names.
I think you're better with this one. Because my mind thinks differently. I know I definitely want to get my brother in there, maybe my sister, maybe like, switch some of the personalities of the kids so they match them. But yeah, we were very specific on the people that we used. But I write weird. Like I just do ideas. But you, I think your magic was when you came in and you're like, all right, this person should be named this person, and because they're this type of character, they have something to do with this person that was a real person, and so forth and so on. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally does. Like, and I think the reason why I do that, beyond, you know, giving a nod to like all of the interesting people I've met in my life, mm-hmm. it's also like an opportunity for us to share like history. So like, mm-hmm. you know, Marcus Libertas, you know, mm-hmm. the guide. He's the Yoda. He's the Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Morpheus of the story. And you know, Marcus Aurelius, that's his first name. And we talk about that. And then Libertas, I'm just like, this is a guy who's liberating these kids and helping them. And, you know, Libertas is like the goddess of liberty. And, you know, that's that blind person with the, that's the justice one. But either way, like Libertas is that. And then I'm trying to think who else. Oh, yeah, we talk about that. We also talk about, I weaved into some stuff like Memphis, the main character. He loves Rubik's Cubes like Desmond does. Mm-hmm. And Jake Chaney. He's got the last name Chaney. He's not a good character. Let's just put it that way. His last name's Chaney. He's not good. And then Jeff Cohen, I thought that one was fun because we wanted him to be like, we wanted to represent different people. Like even, you know, we had the Memphis's father was the general at first. And then we were like, you know what? We need more powerful women characters. Cause Adrian was like, you know, girls read more, first of all. And second of all, this is like a book full of men. So we need to go back to the drawing board and bring some women in. But you know, he has this friend who's like, he's really, you know, all of these characters have specific characteristics and traits that help the protagonist, you know, on his journey. And Jeff Cohen is his first friend that he meets. And he's like, he's this chubby kid who's just really cool, but he's also like, you know, he holds his own. So like he's friendly, but he also stands up to bullies. And just so you guys know, Jeff Cohen is the name of the actor who played Chunk in Goonies. Yeah. And then we have Jeremiah Adu, who's like, that's the name of like this Ugandan prodigy who's like 2 years old and doing all this stuff. And so we gave him that name, but then I wanted to give a nod to one of my college teammates who's half Finnish, half Ghanaian. And so he's this ridiculously tall mulatto kid who is also a Mensa certified genius, and he has a Finnish accent. And I mean, there's just so many. Oh, Teresa Sanchez, that's a historical figure who's like, and Teresa's a very, you know, one of those names, Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. There's just so many, bro. That's been super fun. And I visualized, you know, when we're out there promoting the book and we're getting on other podcasts and we're talking about them, I just feel like that's going to be so fun to highlight the people in my life who inspired the characters, mm-hmm. because they're so interesting. So many of these people are so interesting, and now they're making it into a book, and I didn't even have to make them up because these are real people.
Yeah, which makes it easy. Well, it because like once you have an idea of the character and who they are, it makes it a little bit easier to create them in this book, right? In this story, they're based on somebody. Yeah, so I think that might be like one of my biggest obstacles when it comes to writing is like actually kind of building that character and the way that how they.
Well, I know. I think we both have our strengths because. You know, when we talked about like the supporting characters, you had an idea of who they were, and then you put that idea in my mind, and then I ran with it. And I feel like that synergy that we have has worked like that. Like, I can't tell you how many times during this process, like I sit down, I open up our shared Google Doc file, and I'm reading, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is getting so good. Like, you know, like I'm reading the book as the reader. But then I have to connect because there's been so many times where Adrian has written a scene and then he hasn't finished it. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm going to start another scene and I'm going to leave part of it open, but continue the storyline. But then I'm like, I can't wait to read what he finishes because I kind of see where he's going, but I don't want to assume. So that was super awesome as well.
Yeah.
It's so helpful too, because I mean, you run out of ideas sometimes. Yep. And like not you, every we all run out of ideas. Right, so it's I'll open the book, I'll open that Google Doc, and I'm like, all right, what am I gonna write to finish the rest of this scene? I don't know. And then I'll see that Danny will have written something, and I read, and I'm like, all right, I got it. I can do something that will tie into this, and it'll make it really cool.
Probably helped and like made you guys finish it faster like writer's block. Isn't really a thing because you're not going to both be having it at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, like that sparks. Yeah. Like you could read something that he put and that's it. It sparks an idea, you know, that's awesome. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. It's crazy. We're at over 100 pages. We're probably at 103 pages right now. And that was how long have we been writing? Like a month or two?
Yeah, not even 2 months.
So what's like the age range, would you say, of the book?
So I'm having thoughts about this. I don't think Danny and I have spoken about it. We set up an age of like what? It was like young kids, right? Like elementary school.
Yeah, but the book, when it progressed, it started to get a little bit older, plus the what do you call it? The vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing.
And the language.
Here's the thing. Like maybe, okay, the actual reader, you're going to be limited there on the age, right? Because just it's going to be for a more advanced reader. But that's why, and for anyone listening to this, like this is why it's so important to read to your children.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. they can comprehend at a higher level than they can read. So look, Dean is what, 6? You could probably read this to a 5-year-old. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They'll get a lot of it.
And they'll get the gist. You know what I mean? And they can comprehend at a higher level. So yeah, the actual reader will probably be a certain age, but that's why the parents, it's like a great thing to like go through a chapter a night, right?
Yeah. And so 2 things. So now I'm thinking that the age is probably going to be like middle school kids.
I agree with that. Because right, middle like school that. Kids are like the characters that. Too. Yeah,
exactly. And then, I mean, you, Maura, you said something perfect. I mean, this project isn't only for the series. It's not only for kids. It's for parents. To give them that time together. Parents don't read. I believe this or not. I'm going to share this episode with all my friends. I'm going to tell them I'm famous because I'm on a podcast. but dude, some of my friends, I'm 32 years old, cannot read.
Wow.
Wow.
They cannot read, and that's
very sad.
A true fact. So this project very much is not just for kids. It's for the kids and the parents. It's absolutely. An activity for them to do together.
Love it. All right. Well, so next question: how do you guys, you know, go about weaving these principles of self-development books into the storylines?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways, and Danny and I have been coming up with shortcuts. So, so one of the ways is the main character, Memphis, that can read minds. He meets Dr. L, his mentor, and he's able to create this kind of like world in his mind where he's able to invite Dr. L. And Dr. L teaches him things, right? He teaches him some of the principles within the book. He'll ask him, you know, some of the obstacles that have that, you know, some of the things that are going on in his life, and he'll educate him on how to overcome those obstacles using the principles that the book really talks about. So then he goes out and he tries them, he does them, he fails sometimes he succeeds, and that just keeps going on and on. It's like a, you know, in the Matrix when Morpheus is like, all right, plug him up to the computer, we're gonna start training him, and they just like pull up into this computer world where anything is possible. So that's what I see as what's going on in Memphis's mind when he's getting trained by Dr. L. But then that would take a long time, right?
Yeah, we don't want a bunch of like mental training sessions. That would be too dimensional.
So I think that's when Danny had the idea that we should base characters off of certain principles. Some should be really good at speaking to people. Some should be good at persuading people, you know, things like that, because that would help us. Because now, as the kids are reading, it's not just what's going on in this mental world with Memphis and the doctor. They can see and learn other lessons, even though it looks like they're not really seeing and learning them, by what these characters are doing, saying, and how they're acting. And then also, like, the bad things, right? Mm-hmm. So our evil character, Mayor Morelli, he's going to exhibit all like the bad things, the things that you don't want to do.
Yeah, I love that. By the way, I just remembered, I got to give a shout out to Miss Standifer, man. I don't even know if she's still alive. I doubt it, man. She was kind Standifer. Of older. Yeah, she was like, she's not even a big character. She was the one who was in detention.
Right.
And that was like, she was actually my 4th grade teacher. And
dude, I had a teacher called Miss Standifer.
Did you go to Royal Green?
I didn't go to Royal Green, but I went to Emerson Elementary. She's in Westchester.
Well, she was Miss Standifer, was Black. She was a Jamaican background. Super, super strict. But like what I loved about her as a kid who was kind of a problem child, you know, got into fights, talked too much. She was so strict with me. And she even, bro, I'm a little bit older than you. So she slapped me on the wrist with a metal ruler.
Way.
Yeah, she did that once. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she was just so strict. And I wish I could see this. I wish I could find this picture, but I have a picture in my mind. One of the last days of school in fourth grade. And it's like, she has me by the neck and she's like wringing my neck, you know, like how frustrated she is with me. But I mean, like what an amazing, just influence in my life, because, you know, she was strict, but she was also, she cared. And I could tell that she cared. I'm getting emotional just thinking about this. Yeah. And like, I just love the way that we're able to do all of that, man. We're able mm-hmm. to give nods to all the important people in our lives. And like, I can tell already that there's going to be a lot of people reading this, whether it's the kids or whether it's the parents, that they're going to be like, oh, this reminds me of, you know, Fulanito, who was just this way, you know, like this reminds me of this person. And like, I really think that helps with pulling them into the story, because, you know, the powers are awesome. And it, like you said, all the kids, they love powers, but like when you're able to bring in all of these themes and all of these characters, and it's not contrived, it's not like, okay, come on, a kid will never say that, or an adult. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think we're forcing things much. I think they're natural. And I just think it makes for a good story. So I'm like, this first one is like, we got a work cut out, because I really do think this is going to be a great project. And now we're going to have to set that bar high and, you know, meet it every time.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you guys mentioned how, because basically the question is, you know, about the creative writing process and how it is to work in tandem with someone else. So you guys kind of have touched on that, but like if there's anything else, like any other surprises, I don't know if let me know. But if not, it's okay. We can move on.
I think like the only thing I can add to that, it's like, all right, Danny, when you write something and you read it, like let's say one of the chapters that we've put together, and you read it, do you automatically like start thinking about all the things, all the ways that we can make it better, whether it be introducing different story ideas, characters, maybe shortening up some of this, maybe lengthening some of that, like, oh, maybe if we put this, do you think like that?
Well, I do. And proactively, but also from the beginning, I loved that, you know, if I would write something, you would put notes and then you would ask a question like, where are you trying to go with this? This is interesting.
I like that.
What do you think that? And then he would say, well, keep in mind that this person has to be this way. So we have to make sure that we keep that in the character and maybe like flesh it out a little bit more. So I think that's been really good, because we'll put a note in. And then that's like
a reminder.
It's actually
great, because it's like you guys are proofreading every section for each other. And then at the end, you obviously have someone else do it. Like the...
Yep.
Who would do that? Like the editor?
An editor.
Are you guys self-publishing, by the way?
We're going to talk about that for sure.
Sorry, I'm getting ahead of everything.
No, yeah. Why don't you just ask the next one?
Yeah, so all right. Well, let's fast forward, because actually this is... I'm glad you asked this, because this is actually something I want to know.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward 5 years from now. What are your plans for the future in regard... You know, with regard to these books, how do you see them expanding? What else do you have in mind? Beyond just the books, but you guys should definitely obviously do like, gotta be a collection.
Well, trust me, he has these ideas,
because you release them individual and then you do
collection. Yeah,
but that's collector's just tip of the iceberg,
because yeah, there's gotta be yes, talk about it. All right, let's go.
Yeah, so definitely a lot of books, right? So like Danny mentioned earlier, like Captain America, he has like what, a couple movies by himself. Iron Man has like 3 movies by himself. Thor has like 2 movies. I'm a big Marvel fan, if you can't tell. But all these guys, they have like their own books or their own movies. And then eventually, after they each have like 3 or 4, they just all appear in the same world. So I want to do that with the books. But like the overall goal, at least for me, is I want to get these books in school systems. If you're in like sixth grade, when I was in sixth grade, I had to read Harry Potter. So I don't know if it'll be in 5 years or maybe a couple more years, but my goal would be like, all right, welcome to sixth grade. You have to read this book. This is like part of our curriculum. We're going to get pop quiz on it, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that would be on my 5-year list. And then, I mean, it's going to happen, but turning the definitely audiobooks, for sure. Every single book is going to turn into an audiobook, but then finding a way to, I don't know, maybe a cartoon series.
I would love the cartoon
series. I was thinking
that
already. I was thinking a series.
Yeah.
And then the other thing you mentioned too, was the like workbooks and stuff.
Oh, I love that too. Workbooks are great because you could sell them like with the book.
Yeah. For homeschooling. Absolutely.
Right. For homeschooling, because for me, this would totally be part of my curriculum. Like it was already a plan of mine, but now I don't have to wait. Right. Cause like I would have had to wait till high school, maybe at least, or, you know, depending on the level. Which is the beauty of homeschool. You don't have to wait necessarily. You could go by the kid, by the child. But, you know, Danny's already started some of that. Like, why can't we talk about, right? Like, you guys have talked about, like, Homer, Plato.
Yeah.
And so this is just another aspect, like, that was on my, like, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I'm like, my kids need to read. That's going to be part of it. You know, meditations, that's going to be part of it. Whatever it is, all these other books, like The Obstacle is the Way, that's going to be part of it.
The books, I have to give a huge shout out to you know, we had him on, Connor Boyack. Because
amazing.
The Tuttle Twins, you guys go back to our episode with Connor Boyack. It was great. But what he did with the Tuttle Twins, someone just said, hey, have you ever heard of the Tuttle Twins? And I was like, yeah. No, Raymond, actually. Because Raymond, look, our friend Raymond has a daughter who's not even 1 year old. She's like 4 or 5 months old.
So he hasn't really needed to look for this stuff yet,
but he
now
did.
He is.
He has all the Tuttle Twins books, and now they have packs where you can, they have like 8 books already, and they have workbooks. No, we're missing two. Yeah. 2 or 3 maybe. And they come with workbooks. So all these bundles would be with the workbook. And I mean, to me, bro, like, you know, look, reading the book is awesome. You could read the book as a kid and you'll love it, but like applying it in a certain way.
Different.
Is going to be amazing.
Yeah, and like so workbooks for the kids, workbooks even for the parents, like even how to build these reading habits with your kids, like that could be a one pager that comes in the bundle. So all that kind of stuff I think would be cool. And yeah, for sure.
That's creating and expanding a whole universe and then building off of it. Like I know that so many companies that started with a book, you know, that now they have like such and such university, you know, where it's like a whole course. You know, there's just a lot of avenues nowadays that, you know.
Well, now with the internet you could do so much, like you don't.
Well, like another thing that actually I was sitting on the beach reading The Perennial Seller. Thanks for recommending that, by the way. It's freaking awesome. It's an awesome book. Highly recommend
it. Great book.
So I'm on the marketing section, and I love marketing, man. I love marketing just as much as I love writing, maybe even more. Like I think it's like both things have something in common, and it's like the psychology of how people think, which I've always been infatuated with and interested in. But another thing, like when we talk about this 5-year, where do we see this in 5 years? You know, there's a lot of foster kids. There's a lot of kids. You know, my brother and sister are adopted. My aunt adopted them. It's a long story, but they're my half siblings. I call them my full siblings. But
time out. Which aunt?
My dad's sister.
Oh, okay. Because I was like,
yeah, I don't know if you've met her.
I don't know if I've met her.
Because Adrian is loosely related to Maura, guys, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Like, because of...
Yeah, Lenny is my stepmom, aunt. But she's been my stepmom since, like, I've known, like, since I was one.
And Lenny is your and other
Lenny,
aunt.
Lenny is his aunt, his direct aunt, because his mom is her sister, Lily.
There we go.
So, just going back to this, like, this foster thing, there are so many kids that don't have parents that are in, like, these programs and these homes. I think one of the things that we should do is maybe for like every I don't know, sale, like every X amount of dollars, every book goes into giving buying books for kids that are in these homes so they can have them, you know, if their homes can't afford it, you know, some way to give these books to these kids for free is what I'm trying to get at.
I love that. And I think now I understand why you brought up the perennial seller, because that must have challenged. I know it challenged my view, especially on the marketing side. It made sense, but then on the pricing and the launch strategy, like those were some very disruptive ideas for me, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like when you talk about, and we'll talk about this on the next question, but you talk about like which route you're going to take with publishing. How do you envision getting this to market? How do you make a work perennial? You know, because like that's what everybody wants. Like nobody wants to write a book and make, like, you know, let's say you make $50,000 on a book in, you know, in a couple of years, and then it goes away. Like that's not what we want. Like we want this to live on forever. And part of that is the marketing strategy, the pricing strategy, mm-hmm. and giving the book away. You know, someone's like, oh, well, I'm not going to give my book away. That's my hard-earned money or hard work. And when you think about it, like, you remember when Paulo Coelho, like, has his whole book, the mm-hmm. the book of which one? The Alchemist mm-hmm. is, I think it was, it's on a billboard somewhere in size 6 font. The whole book is on a billboard.
Wow.
And then he had a kid in India. He happened to be somewhere in India, and the kid was selling, what do you call those? Like pirated copies of The Alchemist. And he bought one because mm-hmm. he's like, I don't care if people are pirating it. That means
I know, that's so dumb, right?
That book has
You're
sold.
Still getting the word out. You're literally getting the word out.
Yeah. I think it's 100 million or hundreds of millions of copies. Right? Like for him, it's all about like, put it in front of people because number one, they're going to talk about it. Number two, you're going to become part of the zeitgeist. You're going to be part of like the culture, which is just so cool to me if we can do that. And then, of course, if we can give back and help all these areas, like we can really, that's the thing. When you have resources, you can help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that's the view I think both of us share, which is awesome, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that the giving away the books part, I was reading, I forget what chapter of The Perennial Seller, but the author was working with one of his clients. It was a famous established author, like bestseller already, when he was ready to launch his new book, and they're coming up with the marketing idea. And the author he started giving away thousands and thousands and thousands of copies. He had enough money to do this, of course, from the beginning because he was already established. But he just started giving away thousands of books to people in the armed forces.
Oh, yeah.
Military, the army, blah, 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 blah. And because of that, it just took off because you got enough books in people's hands. But yeah, I have a lot of really cool ideas when it comes to the marketing side of the book.
I can't wait to get to that part. I mean, I'm just enjoying every part of this process. I can't believe we're actually like on target, you know. We wanted to finish the writing part by September.
Wow.
And for sure we're gonna finish that.
August.
We're about 75-80% done. And like it's a true storyline where you get this buildup and all of a sudden we're in the, you know, the climax, and the climax is getting crazy, and like there's explosions and there's all types of crazy stuff. There's people getting imprisoned in labs, and there's people like, you know, all types of.
Okay, well, just Danny, poor thing. He's really bad at surprises. If it was him, he'll just read the whole book. Right,
hey, what does that have to do with anything? People getting. It's true though. It's true. It's
for
true.
Your safety.
I'm an oversharer, but Danny's I get so excited.
Yes. Go back to like the holidays around there and see what he was posting on his
Yeah, what?
Find out that he's an overshare.
Buttpocalypse 2019.
The Buttpocalypse, and then he has the nerve to call it that.
Buttpocalypse, bro.
Good lord.
All right. Well, look. Let's hopefully people are listening to this, and just like everything else we do, you know, we pour ourselves into this podcast, and we love this podcast, and we really like. We hope that people get inspired to do like the things that we talk about, and we would love nothing more than people to like. Say, you know what? I can write that book, like that book that I was thinking about. And so like, what would you say to someone who's interested in writing a book? Like, how do they get started? how do they manage their workflow? And, you know, what are your opinions on which route to go with publishing? Because that's a conversation that we had as well.
So number one, let's say you want to write a book. Don't tell anybody you want to write a book. Yes. Right. That's the first thing. Because there's going to be a whole bunch of people. And that's another reason behind the creation of these series. A lot of people believe that they can't do a lot of things. Right. Yep. And you, I truly believe that you can do whatever you set your mind to as long as you put in the work. So number one, if you want to write a book or make a song or, you know, start painting, whatever it is, I'll stick to books. Just don't tell anybody and just sit down and do it. So I took a bunch of creative writing classes. Every single, all of our teachers at UM were authors, like known for their work. All of them said the same thing. Just sit down and write, you know, it don't try to make it perfect, because even if you try to make the most perfect thing, it's going to take you forever and it's still going to be crap, because your first draft of everything is they're essentially just ideas, right? It's like a kind of still just a blueprint. So just write. Give yourself a schedule. Danny and I set a schedule to write, what was it, Danny? A page a day. Right, yeah, so seven pages. And I kind of tricked Danny because I set it up like 11 size font, single spaced, when a lot of times people do 12 font, double space. So one page is really two pages. So we were really writing 14 pages each per week. It was one a day, but I can't write like that. I need to
me
just
either,
write
bro. Every time burst. I was like, oh, writing time. That's a problem I fell into, where it's like, okay, writing time is over, time to do the next thing. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of a thought. I can't stop.
Yeah. That's like a goal, but like you could go over, obviously, like.
Yeah.
Once you're in the flow, I'm sure you're like.
And the flow's
done.
Yeah. The flow is the magic part, man. Cause it might take you a little while to get there, but once you're there, it's just like a snowball. It's just going to keep rolling and getting bigger. And that's really when it turns fun. So just sit your butt on that chair and start writing. Set a goal, right? Set a goal. You can't get somewhere if you haven't, you know, drawn out the map, if you haven't put that X on that map. So sit down, set your goals, just write. Don't think too heavily about what you're writing. Don't go back too many times and start editing, because after you're done with your first draft, that's when the real fun starts happening. That's when you can start getting deeper into the story, adding more details, and really just expanding on. And think about it like a sculpture. Like now, once we finish the first version, now we're really going to start getting into the details of carving out, you know, how the bit sculpture, how the nose should look, and you know, how the shoulders should look, and all that good stuff. And that's it. As far as publishing, I don't know a lot about publishing. Let me say that. I've never published a book, but I've been doing research. I think from what I've seen, self-publishing is the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. Like our first conversation, that was part of the reason why I felt just excited to tell you, because I had signed with the publisher. And when we signed, I was really excited about it because I was told that this is the best publisher to get it in front of all these people. And then I started to talk to all these friends of mine who had been with them and were like, yeah, maybe it used to be like that, but it's not like that anymore. So like you sacrifice, a lot of the ownership as far as like the profits go, because you know that they're going to help with marketing and they're going to help you with that whole thing we were talking about earlier, which is getting it in front of people.
Right.
But not even like the profits, like then it's like if you're a rapper and you're working for a record label or a singer and they're like, you know what? I don't like this part of the album. You got to, swap it out.
No way.
And I don't change it. Yeah. I don't want to have a boss. You know, this is our creation. I'd rather have complete freedom. And, you know, really what I've seen the benefits of having traditional publishing, that's how you call it.
Yeah.
Really what their job is, what Danny was just saying, they're supposed to do the marketing, which typically writers back in the day probably do nothing about, right? So yeah. I write the book, I'm gonna pay you guys are gonna take 50 or 80 or however many percentage of my project, my work, and you're gonna do your best to get this book in front of people. You don't love this book. It's just, you know, it's a dollar sign to you. When it comes to our project, dude, I'm awesome at marketing, and I know I'm gonna do. I know we're gonna do a really good job because this is something. It's our thing, right? It's like our baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you also shared a really good podcast with me that just talked about someone who you know, went both routes, and we were mm-hmm. like, you know what, we can self-publish, and then worst case scenario, if we want a big publishing house, we're going to come to the table with like, check out what we did on our own.
Exactly.
You know, what are you going to do to exactly. help us? What resources and all that? And I think that's a better, definitely.
Yeah, it gives us more leverage. It's like, now it's not, oh, you're nobodies, right? Now it's, no, we sold, you know, 50,000 books in less than a year or something like that, you know? Yeah, it just builds your credibility in this space.
Oh man, bro, this was great. This is exactly how I envisioned it, man. I'm just like I said, just enjoying every single step of the process, man. And seriously, so grateful that you included me in it, man. Seriously, I'm just so, so happy to be doing this, like in this time where, you know, so much is going on. I can escape into this book and just, I just feel so good, you know, like, and then I get to read it to the boys and mm-hmm. they're into it, you know, so
right.
just super excited, man. So thank you.
Dude. Yeah, you're welcome. Imagine one day your kids will be, well, oh no, because they're homeschooled. I was going to say, well, one day they might have friends and their friends go to public school or private school and they bring home this book and it's like, isn't your dad's name Danny Vega? Like, yeah, it's like, so cool. We got to read his book now.
Bro, that would be so freaking cool if that happens.
That would be amazing.
When that happens.
I'm gonna exactly say that. When that happens.
When that happens, for sure, man.
This book, like, party favor. You get a book.
Yes. Merry Christmas. You get a book.
Merry Christmas. You get my book.
Happy birthday. Book.
Happy birthday. Improve. Improve yourself. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Please let us know and all of our listeners where they can find out more about you online, where they can follow you and find out more about what you're doing.
Yeah. So first, thank you guys for inviting me.
Of course.
I'm freaking my podcast cherry. Hopefully a lot more. I'm more and more to promote the book. I don't really have a big social media presence. My personal page is on Instagram, AGO10X. That's A as in Adrian, G as in go, O as in uh-oh, 10. And X as an X-ray. That's Instagram. I don't use really Facebook. But I guess, Danny, we should start building our pages.
You know what we don't have? We got to talk about this offline, bro. But as soon as we have a title, we need to create an Instagram account. But maybe the Instagram account... we got to talk about... We haven't incorporated. We haven't done any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to do that so that we can create an Instagram account that becomes the umbrella account, like mm-hmm. the Tuttle Twins has... an Instagram account.
You should, mm-hmm. yeah. So you guys need to come up with like a name of like, right, like the Tuttle Twins, the Avengers,
yeah.
whatever it's gonna be. That right, that's like the whole umbrella.
Yep.
And then you have to make sure Danny doesn't tell every single person he knows.
No, I know.
That's like the main.
No, I'm. Look, I'm just saying that we're.
He's learning. He's learning.
I am. I'm learning. He's learning. Sure.
And also, Danny.
That's something that my mom would always tell me, like, no le digas a nadie, like, your plans.
Te
van a dar más de ojo. And it's very true,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very crazy. True.
She basically said, don't tell people, for our non-Spanish speakers, don't tell people what you're going to do because they're going to give you the evil eye. And it's going to...
But it's true. They shoot you down. They, like...
It's crazy. Nah. Yeah, so I was like, I don't mean to go over the limit, but
no,
I mean,
you're
I
fine.
Was...
Go ahead.
I'm like in a... I was in, like, this group chat with all my best friends. The kids that are going to hear this episode. So I'm talking about you guys. I was in a group chat with like, I have 20 best friends that I've known since kindergarten, first grade. Like we still hang out all the time. And just in this group chat, and I would just like, oh, I'm going to do this. Like, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, what do you guys think about this? Oh, and none of these kids read either. Like they've read none of these books. But every single thing is like, no, that's not going to work. No, it's a bad idea. Oh, who do you think you are? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, you know what? That's why my number one thing, if you're going to work on something, don't tell anybody.
It's true. Unless you're actually writing with someone, like in our situation, that like, is invested in it, because you know the whole
right, Teddy Roosevelt. The only people you would tell is like anyone who is going to help you with the project, right? Like,
right.
Not like, hey, Instagram.
Yeah.
This is my plan.
No.
Immediately shut down. Like 50,000 followers. Yeah,
exactly.
Everyone, or not just that, but also remember that people will steal your idea.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
That's another reason you don't tell people what you're going to do until you do it, because they can easily steal your idea. Like, you know what I mean?
J.K. Rowling is going to listen to this podcast episode and she's going to put out her own book. And like,
she's going to be like, ha.
2 weeks.
Bro, she's capable. Cycle. Straight up, bro. She was, I think she was like homeless and
came
up with the original idea like on a subway train.
Yeah, on a subway train.
Yeah.
Yeah, on napkins.
Like on napkins.
Yeah. On napkins, dude. Yeah.
I love those stories.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Crazy.
That's us.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again, brother, and let this be the first of many. And I just can't wait for people to get a better look at what we're doing. And I feel like this part, I think we talked about it, this part is probably the hardest part, because this other stuff, most of it is in our wheelhouse. So then it's just a matter of like creating the launch plan and then
going for it,
pushing
and then promoting, man. That's when you see the baby grow. You see it get bigger in front of your face.
And we have the community. We have the community for it, the resources. It's so exciting. Like, I'm going to be pushing this to like my homeschool group. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, the parents want their kids to do well. So, I mean, and more, you know, people are getting more progressive. You know, millennials having kids, they went through what I went through. And it's everything happens for a reason. And I think there's gold behind this.
Yep.
So exciting, guys.
Well, thanks again, brother.
Thank you, guys. Stay safe. Have fun. I'm planning a trip up to Tampa. I'll hit you guys up when I go, because one of my buddies lives up there.
Definitely.
Let us know.
Please let us know.
For sure.
Hey guys, we're going to take a minute right now to tell you about one of our amazing sponsors, Santa Cruz Medicinals. Santa Cruz Medicinals is a company that we've been using for years now. They make high potency, high quality, lab tested CBD formulas at an affordable price. They offer ketogenic, paleo, gluten-free, sugar-free, lab tested formulas.
You all may remember when we did our cannabis series last year. One of the things we learned with CBD is that the research is pretty clear on dosage. 5 to 20 grams per kilogram is what you should be taking per day. And most of the quote-unquote CBD you see online and on Amazon is severely underdosed. Most of these products are offering dosages that are so low, you have to down a bottle a day. That's why we love Santa Cruz Medicinals, because they offer highly dosed, potent CBD with clean ingredients, and they have several cool products. But we want to share our favorites with you. So what are your favorites, my love?
All of them? No, really. I have yet to try a product from them that I don't love. However, I will talk about some of my ride or die products. So during my cycle, I get horrible migraines, guys. And my go-to is definitely their peppermint tincture or the 10,000 milligrams to get a potent anti-inflammatory dose. Peppermint has been shown in studies to relieve migraine pain. But let's talk about the pain salve real quick, because this I use for almost everything. And everyone in this household agrees we cannot live without it. So the CBD pain salve, it has clean ingredients that you can trust, but it also has peppermint, which really, really helps. And so what I like to do is I'll rub some on my temples, and it really provides instant relief for me when I have bad headaches. But of course, I'll use it as well for any muscle pain that I have.
Well, I'm personally a huge fan of the 10,000 milligram bottles of CBD in MCT oil. I put it in my coffee, and then again at night, I'll put some more in, like some broth or whatever drink I'm drinking, a hot tea, to get an adequate dose for the day. I also love the pain salve, especially when I'm extra sore. We usually take turns massaging it onto each other, and it always does the job. You guys also have to try the new CBD-infused hemp and collagen protein. If you're a fan of horchata, you will love this one.
Oh, that one is so good, guys. We just tried it, and it is so good. If you're interested, check them out. You can find them at scmedicinals.com. And, of course, don't forget to use the code FatFueledMom at checkout to save 15% on your order and get free shipping, guys.
Yeah.